This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's World Gratitude Day, Tony. What are you thankful for?
With Tony Kornheiser, three things: sunshine, ice cream, preferably coffee ice cream, and whoever beats Northwestern.
Yeah, I knew you'd take a shot.
Well, it's written. You know that I love Northwestern. I actually love Northwestern.
Particularly the last 5 years, you've been just unbelievably supportive.
Love it. Hope my grandsons go to Northwestern. Hope you can get them in if you have any influence.
Welcome to
PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, as the NFL emphasis on taunting gone too far, is Ben Simmons bluffing, and are the Cardinals a real threat in the National League? But we begin today with the Packers reverting to form as Aaron Rodgers said they would. They beat the Lions in Lambeau, outscoring them 21-0 in the second half. Rodgers threw for four touchdowns, and their other Aaron Jones, caught three of them and ran in a fourth. Wilbon, does this answer your questions about the Pack?
I mean, for the minute, everybody wants to decide the NFL championship in 2 weeks. As I said yesterday, and now I feel like I'm saying it every day, we're not going to do that here, all right? We're going to let the season play out a little while. I said yesterday it wasn't the biblical beatdown, although they did finish 21-0. But the Packers were going to beat the Lions. There's no mystery there. That wasn't any opponent by which to judge week two, much less weeks one and two. But Aaron Rodgers was right. Week one wasn't the end of the world, even though, and he reiterated this, and I know there's some people who were upset, who were critical, and Aaron Rodgers was right. There's no need to judge the season by week one, nor week two. You thought they were going to beat Detroit. Let's see what they got going forward. They've got some interesting games coming up, including week three. So do I think they look better? Yes. Do I think the Packers are going to be the Packers and have at least a 10-6 season and probably better? Yes, I do. But have they fixed everything about this season so far? No.
So I was amused that after the game, in the post game, Rodgers talked about the trolls who were out to get him. And I wondered to myself, what trolls is he talking about? Because every single person I saw and every single person I read said that, in fact, Green Bay was going to beat Detroit. Detroit stinks. They are 1-12 in their last 13 division games. You, and you quoted yourself accurately, you said it'd be a biblical beatdown. It wasn't that. Detroit was, in fact, up at the half. Now, I mean, how do I feel about this whole thing? I'm glad Aaron Rodgers looked good. I'm glad they won the game, but I was one of those people, Mike, who looked at the first game against New Orleans and said, I wonder if Aaron Rodgers' heart is in Green Bay for this season. So maybe that makes me a troll. But I'll tell you this, and I know you will agree, had they lost that game last night, the entire narrative for the rest of the season is, when is Aaron Rodgers going to get out of Green Bay?
Well, at least day for the next week.
you mentioned a game, and it's an important game. Next Sunday night, they're at San Francisco, an undefeated team. If you win that game, then I think that everybody can relax, even us trolls.
For a week.
But you lose that game, it's a different deal.
What's amazing to me with the number of people talking about the NFL, the number of people talking about it who played, who know it's week to week. It's a week to week league, all right? And so, but people don't seem to understand that when talking about it. And so, is everything right with the Packers? Yeah, today. But it won't be if they lose to the Niners. And we're going to go into week four saying just what you said. People are going to go, oh, my God, does Aaron Rodgers want to be here? So, you know, can we relax and just cover the season as it unfolds? No, that's too much to ask. Week two of the NFL season is over in the books, and we saw 8 taunting calls in all. That's tied for the most in any week since the 2000 season. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll called the league's new emphasis, quote, a bit of a can of worms, close quote. Tom Brady took to Instagram to agree that it stinks. By contrast, Bill Belichick agrees with the crackdown, telling WEEI that taunting opens the door to retaliation. Tone, do you think the emphasis on taunting is helping or hurting the NFL's product?
Well, I don't think it's doing either right now. I mean, if you pressed me, I would say it's a little bit closer to helping because it helps create a buzz about the league because we haven't seen this in a few years. I don't think it's going to last all season. I think they'll call it for a couple of more weeks, and then I think they'll be far less taunting, and I think the referees will back off. Look, I think what will happen is coaches like Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick will say to their players, don't do this. I don't think that it's wrong to say to the players these simple words. Don't stand over a guy that you just knocked down or, you know, who knocked you down. Don't stand over him and taunt him. Don't do that. You want to celebrate? Run to the end zone with your teammates, which is allowed, and celebrate in the end zone. Don't do something threatening because I agree on this point, Mike, that it leads to violence between two players and down the road retaliation baseball style, and that's not good.
Yeah, Tony, if it was that simple and that clear-cut and cleanly decided, I would say, okay, I agree with you. But it isn't. The things, the calls that were made on Sunday were wildly inconsistent. And I didn't see anybody out there like Ali standing over listening, doing a shuffle after he knocked him out. I didn't see anything like that. They feel pressure to call this because it's a point of emphasis from Park Avenue, and it's junk. It ruins the product. It's going to decide a game, and they're going to have to run out there and issue a statement as to why this happened this way and some stupid, lazy justification. If someone is truly taunting, then call it. The point of emphasis is the problem, because now some dude turns around and gives side eye to his boy who he beat on a deep post route, and they're calling a taunting penalty. That's stupid. It's lazy. The NFL should be better than that. The product doesn't need extra sizzle. We're just talking about how every single game in the world is treated like the end of the world. They don't need sizzle. They need to let the officials get stuff right. And the officials on Sunday, Tony, they had a day that was dreadful. It was dreadful in large part because of these stupid, lazy calls. Yes,
it is. Your position is that everything you don't like is stupid and lazy.
Tom Brady's position,
too. That's your position. Tom Brady's position is different than Bill Belichick's position. I'm going to go into the numbers so that you hear something and you see why I feel the way I do. There were 11 flags in the first 2 weeks. In 2016, when it was also a point of emphasis, there were 12 flags in the first 2 weeks and 26 over the next 15 weeks. And that's going to happen because coaches are going to put this on film and say to players, just don't do that. Don't do that.
What was that?
Good.
But what was that?
Don't do
How
that.
Can they define that?
Standing over somebody.
Nobody
don't
stood
be
over anybody. Nobody. You're making it up.
I saw it.
Nobody stood
I
over anybody. I watched more games than you did.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Because I'm on the red zone, and
That's
I watch everything.
That's the red
everything.
Zone, dude. I got every game.
The red zone. They show this stuff. Let's move on.
Nobody stood over
Your
anybody.
Your beloved St. Louis Cardinals did it again. They beat the Brewers 5-2 for the ninth straight victory. Look at who got the win. Your old friend from the Cubs, John Lester, who was so disappointing in Washington earlier this season. Last night was Lester's 200th career win and his sixth straight start for St. Louis, where he allowed two runs or fewer, and that's really good. But the Cards' run differential is just +6 over the season. So tell me, Mike, how threatening are they?
You know what I think? I think they're the boogeyman. I think they can take somebody out. Now, they got to take the first somebody out because you're in the wild card game. It looks like you're gonna get San Francisco or the Dodgers, and they can take you out because they're better teams. But the Cardinals, this is what they do. This is what the Cardinals do. They've done this in previous seasons. They've done it as a spoiler. They've done it getting in and keeping you out, so therefore replacing you. They've done it in the first round of the playoffs. They've done it in the second round of the playoffs. They haven't had the expanded playoffs to do it again yet because they weren't there. But, Tony, when you got Wainwright and John Lester, these are accomplished guys. I mean, they both may go to the Hall of Fame. They are certainly hellacious postseason. I said may. Mm. They're certainly – John Lester better go to the Hall of Fame. I don't know about Wainwright.
No, I don't
think
John
Lester in.
I don't think so.
Red Sox drought.
I don't think so.
John Lester. Cubs drought. John Lester. Hall of Fame. Now, those guys are the boogeyman. They can take somebody out. That makes you a threat.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to some numbers that make more sense to me than run differential. And they are these numbers. Adam Wainwright's 40 years old. That's not bad in baseball when you're a pitcher. He's 16-7 this year, Mike.
Yeah.
Since July 21st, he's 9-1 with a 1.81 ERA. He's got 183 career wins, and he once closed out a World Series clincher. John Lester's 37, 200 career wins. He got a 2.51 ERA in the postseason, and he won a World Series clincher. So I agree with you that in any one single game, the manager of the Cardinals can throw them both out there. And with their experience and with their guile, they can win. Where run differential plays a larger role is in a seven-game series. Okay, because if you're plus six, not a lot of margin for error. But the Dodgers and the Giants, Dodgers are plus 249. Giants are plus 81. I would not take the Cardinals in a seven-game series against either of those teams.
Neither.
But where we agree is that in a one-game series, one-game wild card, what is one of the two best teams in baseball doing in a one-game?
Here's the other thing. You know how much I hate that. Run differential matters in, let's see, April, May, June, July, August, and September, because that's when it's amassed. It doesn't mean a damn thing in October when pitching dominates and starting pitching can be great and you can have a day off in a series and throw a guy three times, at least twice, in a series, a great starter. So run differential out. These pitchers
the
matter.
The greater starters are on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
They are.
1 through 4 on the Dodgers
are
the greater starters. Let's take a break, but coming up, the Broncos and the Panthers are both 2-0. Which team should we take more seriously?
And the Jaguars and Falcons are both winless, but which is more hopeless? I don't want to be in position.
On the red zone, they show people standing over people they hit or scored on and taunting them. I saw it.
They were standing over is like oddly overlifted. That's what standing over.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, changes into his tunic, lights 36 candles, and settles into his nightly meditation. What's first?
Toss-up. In which 2-0 team do you have more faith, the Broncos or the Panthers?
Well, these are not sexy teams. They were both 5-11 last year. Denver gave up on Drew Lock and traded for Teddy Bridgewater. The Panthers gave up on Teddy Bridgewater, traded him to Denver, and then traded for Sam Darnold, who was 13-25 in 3 years with the Jets. And the amazing thing is, both of these teams are going to be 3-0 because Denver gets the Jets next week, and they stink.
They do.
And they've already been beaten, you know, by the Panthers, and the Panthers get Houston, and they stink. So they'll both be 3-0. Which one do I believe in more? The most impressive game so far is the Panthers beating down New Orleans. So slightly, just slightly, Mike, I have more faith in the Panthers.
Yeah, basically this boils down to a question of who do you have more faith in, Sam Darnold or Teddy Bridgewater? I mean, that's essentially where this is going until we see a larger sample size. I don't know, Tony. And I will say I've watched more Sam Darnold because I just thinking, oh, my goodness, is it him or is it the Jets? Well, so far, it looks like the Jets. I'm going to go with Teddy Bridgewater, but don't ask me to have any conviction about this just yet. Okay, these are not teams to have conviction in. They really aren't.
think they're both going to be 3-0. I do. What's next?
Toss up. Which 0-2 team is more hopeless, the Jags or the Falcons?
Atlanta is more hopeless.
Really?
Because Atlanta recently was in the Super Bowl, and they're on the downslide. And their quarterback, Matt Ryan, is now 36. And if you watched him get those passes batted around and intercepted by Tampa Bay, you would say, you got to get out of here. Matt Ryan says he wants to play till he's 40. Well, not with Atlanta, son. You got to leave Atlanta. And Atlanta's defense is the worst in football. They've given up 80 points. Now, Jacksonville, you can't make a judgment yet on Trevor Lawrence. You can't give up on Trevor Lawrence after two games. It's possible that Urban Meyer won't win in the NFL. It's not going to surprise me if he doesn't win. But at least nobody in Jacksonville has said, get me out of here, the way Leonard Fournette did and the way Jalen Ramsey did. So, Mike, what I would say is right now Atlanta is probably a better team than Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But Atlanta is more hopeless right now.
Well, but Atlanta hung in there against Tampa Bay and Tampa Tom. They hung in there. They were competitive. I mean, there's nothing yet about – look, if we're talking about the context of this season, the answer to me in terms of hopelessness is the Jaguars. Because you got two people in there who don't know what they're doing yet. Urban Meyer may figure it out, may become a terrific coach. We don't know. And his quarterback is a rookie. I'm not taking Jacksonville over anybody. If basically right now you say, who's going to wind up with the worst record this season? I'm going to say Jacksonville. And I thought Atlanta was competitive against the Super Bowl champ.
Okay. I think they're more hopeless because they've been close to the top. And it's been recent.
Not close
That's
anymore.
It. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Ben Simmons, your boy, reportedly won't play another game for the Sixers.
Well, they got to figure out where he's going to play. J.J. Redick says he won't be playing in another NBA game, period. I hate hearing that news. I love J.J. Redick. I like watching him his whole career.
The Carolina Panthers have only allowed 21 points. They've got the best defense in the NFL. That's amazing to me.
It is.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Happy time, people. Happy 70th birthday, Bruce Arena, Long Island's own H. Frank Carey High School. Arena is most famous as a soccer coach, but he played lacrosse and soccer at Nassau Community College. Shout out Nassau Community. And he played both sports at Cornell, made a Final Four there in soccer. In all, Arena won 5 national championships coaching soccer at the University of Virginia and 5 more in the MLS, 2 with DC United, 3 with the LA Galaxy. Arena did a great job with the U.S. men's national team in 2002, coaching them to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, our best showing in 70 years. But the low point was in 2017 in Arena's second stint with the national team. We only needed a tie with Trinidad and Tobago to qualify and lost 2-1. Arena resigned 3 days later. He's back in the MLS now coaching the New England Revolution, the number one team in the league.
Tony, that one stumble in 2017, I know it was a big deal. It can't possibly undo all that he has done as a coach. That whole resume, Tony, it sounded like Red Auerbach you were referring to.
Yeah.
And because it does, I mean, isn't he the most important soccer coach in American history? Is he not that?
I'm not the guy to judge soccer, but if a Long Island guy can win that, I'm happy. Happy anniversary, Albert Pujols. On this day 20 years ago, Pujols hit a grand slam and a double to set the record for most extra base hits by a rookie, 84. Pujols finished the year with 88. That year, Pujols announced himself as a great player, batting .329, hitting 37 homers, driving in 130 runs. In his 11 seasons in St. Louis, Pujols was a modern-day Babe Ruth, averaged .328, 40, and 121, and got three MVPs. His production declined significantly with the Angels, who released him earlier this year. Dodgers grabbed him. Pujols has been a productive player part-time. All-time, Pujols has 679 home runs and 2,149 RBI. He's sixth in homers, 17 behind Alex Rodriguez. He's third in RBI, 65 behind Ruth. And so far this season, Pujols has 17 homers and 49 RBI. So A-Rod and the Babe are within reach.
Tony, as much as I hate the Cardinals, if he stays with St. Louis, I think those numbers are, the power numbers are 10% higher. Well, he doesn't have that big drop-off that he had when he went to the Angels. And I think we're talking about the top of the pyramid being hitting, just hitting. Ruth, Mays, Williams, Pujols. That's it. If he stays there because he's over 700, he's going to retire second in that case, maybe first in runs batted in. What more is there? Maybe he has regrets. I doubt it. Maybe the Cardinals have regrets. Maybe they should.
Left out one guy, who? Hank Aaron. I know
Hank,
you just omitted him.
Hank
Happy
Aaron,
trails, J.J. Redick. The third best three-point shooter in NBA history in terms of percentage made of at least 4,500 attempts is retiring after 15 years in the league. Redick made 41.5% of the 4,704 threes he took. Only Steph Curry and Kyle Korver have a higher percentage. Redick was a great player and All-American at Duke. He's Duke's all-time leader in points scored and free throw accuracy. He holds the school record for points averaged in a single season, 26.8. He was the 11th overall pick in the 2006 NBA draft going to Orlando, where he got to the NBA Finals in 2009. Redick appeared in the playoffs in each of his first 13 NBA seasons, and his career high in one game was 40 for the Clippers in 2016. Played for the Magic, the Clippers, the Sixers, the Pelicans, Bucks, and Mavericks, averaged 12.8 points per game and was a dependable, good player.
Look, I get it. J.J. Redick, and we've talked about this. I know he wants to spend more time with his family. It's not a cliche. With his sons and his wife, and he's there in metropolitan New York, Brooklyn, I believe. If the New York Knicks get close to something, if they're really good late in the season, they're not going to call J.J. Redick, who can still shoot it, whether he's laying on his sofa or not. I hope we haven't seen the last of J.J. Redick, who I love.
One clarification, John Lester did win a World Series with the Red Sox, but it's 2007, not the drought-busting one of 2004. We got to be real quick in the
Let's
big finish
it.
Here. Ben Simmons will reportedly not show at Sixers training camp next week, intends to never play a game for Philadelphia again. Your thoughts?
They're going to trade him. They're going to have to, even if they don't want to right now. The Warriors say Klay Thompson is making good progress in his recovery from a torn Achilles last November. Your thoughts?
Wish him well. He's missed 2 years already. Carlos Rodon left the White Sox loss after three innings with arm soreness. Is that a big deal?
He says it's not a big deal. LaRusso, a little bit more concerned. The White Sox need him in the postseason. Salvador Perez hit his 46th home run last night, passing Johnny Bench for most ever by a catcher in a single season. I know you're impressed.
I'm sorry that the buzzer sounded. That is a real big deal. For a catcher, wear and tear on the body like that. Last one, women's soccer friendly tonight. Will Paraguay exact revenge?
After a 9-0 loss last week, no.
Time, Tony.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.